someone said price is what you pay, but you have to actually look at the value that you're getting for what you're paying.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyrone Shum, and in this episode, we continue the conversation with successful property manager and licensee of Progressive Property, Melissa Morgan. We delve into her strategies to manage investment properties to generate greater cash flow, an incredible story about one of her developments that profited almost $800,000, and much, much more. Morgan shares with us a moment where everything seemed to fall into place for her and she knew she was on the right track.
Yeah, well, it actually sort of was the bounce back from what happened in that Double Chill project. It was sort of, well, maybe it's time to do something a little bit different. And starting Progressive Property, my property management business, is probably a big aha light bulb moment for me. And I was actually a licensed agent from back when I was at Capital 360. I had actually done my real estate agent's license course. So I had some experience with property management then. And plus I'd been managing all of my own Sydney properties for a good decade or more. So by that point, everything made sense. The kids were a little bit older. My husband's mortgage broking business, you know, also had exposure to contacts and investors. So, and I was very passionate about property management and really offering a different level of service. So it really made sense to get into property in a business sense and not so much a development or investing sense.
Let's just put things into sort of a bit of perspective and time frames. Dulwich Hill project, when was that started and finished?
It was sort of started 2016 and sold 2018.
After that, that's when you started back last year in 2018 in Progressive Property.
Yes, yeah. It actually, the Royal Commission was one of the things that helped us start, was that the mortgage broker industry was looking a bit shaky for a while. So we actually thought, well, what's something else that we could do, you know, because we love property so much that still was in the property arena, but helped mitigate that risk.
Morgan explains to us what some of her main priorities were when she was thinking of starting up her own business.
I think that one of the earlier decisions was sort of, how am I going to run this business, and what, you know, software was a major consideration, and the systems and the sort of the trust accounting and the compliance processes to have in place. And because I had spent the years at Macquarie in a very regimented, process-oriented sort of role, it actually was helpful for me to sort of see things in a strategic way and build a business that had good foundations.
We find out more about what her strategies were when she started her business and what she learned from her previous experiences.
I'd seen Capital 360 grow too fast. So I straight away wanted to grow organically, and I wanted to be able to take the time to do it right and be able to service each client, you know, properly and not rush things or have pressure. You know, so I think buying a rent roll was going to definitely do that to me. All of a sudden having, you know, X number of new clients and new properties that I didn't know from the very beginning. So I basically grew my client base from people that I'd known over the years, friends of friends and referrals. That's sort of where my business is growing. So it's still a very boutique agency, but I like it because it's a way of doing things organically and slowly and making sure that they're done properly.
We delve into what is that separates a property management company from the rest of other businesses out there.
Usually the licensee of that business is working in sales, and they've got generally some junior staff running property management. Often these staff, you know, are inexperienced. They don't have their own investment properties, so they don't have the right mindset. They're very reactive. I guess, you know, that they think their job is collecting rent and repairing some leaky taps. But really it's about partnering with investors to manage, you know, their asset, to help it grow over time and to ensure that asset produces a good cash flow. So right from the beginning, I think my agency offers a very different product. It's really, you know, looking at an asset from a higher level and a holistic point of view. So I do things like I'm very strategy focused on trying to minimize vacancies, maximize cash flow, look at where value can be added through maybe a simple reno, look at values of how their property is changing every year. So we do, like, we run a bit of a comparative market analysis every year, see if they've got new equity, and they maybe that fits in with their goals on wanting to grow a portfolio over time. So it's more like a portfolio manager, I suppose, as opposed to a property manager.
Does she have a hands-on approach when it comes to her clients' properties? Or is there another way that she assists them?
I have where I can, but it does mean that it takes me away from the core business. So I did have an owner that bought a lovely little art deco sort of house in Marrickville, but it was very run down. So I assisted them sort of with a project management type of project in getting sort of, you know, the house ready for rental. But I did find that it took a lot out of me and a lot of time away from the property management. So now I've sort of also got a bit of a team. Like, I've got a property manager that doesn't work for me, but I can recommend, you know, that they can help the client with that sort of thing. So it is, I guess, giving the client the resources to go and do what they need to with the property.
By having so much experience in the property industry, Morgan is able to help her clients find the right match when it comes to trades.
Over the years, I had so many projects and so much exposure to different trades that I've got quite a lot of people that I know that I can call on to help, you know, do those things. And also from, like, I probably missed in the middle where I did, when after I bought the house in Annandale, I did own a builder for the house. So I actually built an extension from the ground up twice. And so I have a really good understanding of building. And then if there's an issue, I straight away know a little bit about, I guess, you know, the potential cause and the potential cost it might be to rectify.
We dive into what some of her strategies were when it came to property development and the advice she has for any aspiring developers.
After the first decade or so, right around about the, you know, when I started with that Hurstville project that didn't go so well, it was a mental shift of, well, if the site's if the house is interstate, it becomes quite hard to actually do anything with it hands-on. And also because at the time we bought houses without looking at what potential they had as development sites. So it became, let's go and find something where we can be hands-on, we can learn the process of developing, I guess, and also then use that sort of as a kickstart to future projects. So the Hurstville one was not a great, and it was probably, it's a good learning lesson for people that don't jump in the deep end and buy something that's too far out of your capabilities like I did. Start small. And so after I sold that project, I went back to starting really small and I started doing extensions. And that then helped me understand sort of the DA process and the CC process, the construction certificate process after that, and also then what it took to sort of project manage a build and how much is involved in building a house.
Taking on such a big project by herself, there were plenty of learning experiences for her and she shares some of them with us.
That if you're doing, I guess, an older house, that you there will be unexpected things that pop up. You know, that once you start, you know, maybe opening up the floors, you find that some of the piers, the supports, the foundations are not what you thought they were, that there may be previous termite damage. So you've always got to have a bit of a buffer, I think, in place to allow for things like that. I guess also that you've got to trust your trades. You've got to be able to try and find people that you work well with. And then sometimes it doesn't come down to price. I learned that if you always go for the cheapest person, often it comes back to bite you. So sometimes go for the person that gives you confidence and that has the most experience.
When you say that, is that regards to time, delays? What things come back to you?
I've had problems with pretty much everything. But yeah, sometimes they're too busy and because they've quoted too low on too many jobs. So then they say they'll come next week and they just drag it out, you know, week after and the week after that. And, you know, on any project, you don't want the holding costs to build up. Also, you know, quality. Sometimes they say they know what they're doing. And then, you've always got to check that they're licensed. but still sometimes, you know, the quality of it becomes quite poor if they're rushed. And sometimes they just give you a headache. Like they you know, have little, they complain about everything. They're not happy about, you know, the job they're doing, and it's just not worth sort of the stress.
And I've had friends who have developed their own house and stuff like that. And a project that they expected to probably take no more than 12 months turned into a 3.5-4 year project because they chose a builder who was a bit cheaper. Even though they saved a lot of the cost themselves, they purchased a lot of stuff overseas and brought it back here. But just the amount of time that it took, you know, that that delayed, you know, the build and so forth like that just wasn't worth it. And I think at the end of the day, sometimes, as you said, choosing the cheapest tradesperson doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get the best. And that happens, again, in a lot of things. You know, I can vouch for that even in just choosing a developer for a website. Choosing the cheapest doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to get it done. You know, well, it's just at the end of the day, they could be cheaper just because of their lack of experience.
Someone said price is what you pay, but you have to actually look at the value that you're getting for what you're paying.
Morgan talks to us about what kind of developments she was doing, whether it be structural or townhouses or units.
So I did a couple of structural ones, and then I came across a site that allowed me to build duplex, and it made sense, and it was brought to me by a draftsman that I'd done some work with. So it was someone I trusted, and he was actually looking at buying it but didn't have the funds. So I ended up buying that site. And actually, funny story, I had to buy it twice at auction. I was the underbidder the first time, and then the developer didn't settle. He actually didn't have the funds to complete the settlement, so he lost his deposit. And 3 months later, I went back on the market and I bought it for 100k less than the first time. So that was a really good project the whole way through. So I found my builder through that project. And you know, he's an excellent guy that I've done multiple projects with after. And yeah, we built this complying development duplex because the site was already on two lots, so it actually allowed us to do complying development. So I didn't have the pain of going through a DA. And yeah, I learned so much about complying development process and sort of how straightforward it can be compared to a process through council.
Coming up after the break, we'll delve into what is motivating Melissa Morgan.
I think it's about building a strong base for my family and my kids, whilst also teaching them the value of hard work.
Advice that has helped her and can help you.
It's not what you do in a day that makes you tired. It's actually the opportunities you miss and what you don't do in a day.
And that's next. I'm Tyrone Sharm and you're listening to Property Investory. We find out more about her duplex development and also the final outcome.
Well, I think half of it was that the market was on an upward cycle. So there was a good chunk of the profit was attributed to the growth in the market. And then the other half was that the project was, you know, a great street. It was a very fairly quick project. It was about 12 months end to end. There wasn't, you know, any delays with objections from neighbours or drama along that side because there was no DA involved. The complying development is so powerful in that, you know, within a month you will basically be able to start the project, because as long as you comply with what, you know, the guidelines are, then your project is automatically approved. And it was a four-bedroom duplex with a studio and garaging off the back, and it was a good product for the market at the time, so I was able to sell it for a premium.
What kind of profit did you make out of a project like that?
Somewhere around 700-800k, so it was a lot of money.
Did Morgan decide to use those funds to reinvest into other properties?
I did invest into a joint venture, so that has been going on for nearly 2 years now, and it is a good project. It's a four-townhouse development in the eastern suburbs, so it allowed me, I guess, to then try different things like joint ventures and be able to go into a bigger project that us as individuals wouldn't have been able to do on our own. But with our funds combined, we were able to invest in a project that had bigger margins. So four townhouses now nearly complete, And yeah, hopefully by the end of the year, we will have them, you know, two of them are pre-sold. We sold them at a time when we saw the market going down. And now we've got two left that we'll get really good prices on as well. We haven't sold all of them yet, but it should be around about sort of the 20-30% mark, which will probably leave each joint venture party sort of, I guess, with maybe 500K plus at the end of the day.
So you went into joint venture partnership with another person. Were you guys 50-50 in that deal? And in terms of the work-wise, was it 50-50 as well?
We walked into it, I guess, having a good amount of, I guess, trust for the joint venture partner. And they were very similar. They were another couple that had also experience with small developments like us. And it was very much a 50-50. We decided we had similar experiences, similar cash flow, and together we were able to put in the funds and the experience and the time to make the project work.
When you're working with other people, you can not only learn a lot about them, but about yourself as well.
I think it came out as who was stronger in certain areas. And one of my strengths is finishes. I love sort of, you know, doing nice finishes like marble and timber floors and that sort of thing. So that's sort of become more of my focus. Whereas they've done a lot of the sort of the accounting and admin and the financial side of things. But it wasn't set in stone from the beginning. It was more as we went along whose strengths came out and who was better suited to doing each role.
If you're passionate and love your work, it does not matter about how much money you have, you'll always want to do it.
It's actually quite interesting because my husband and I have just been talking about this over the last few days. And yeah, look, we've been financially free for a while. If we wanted to, we could basically retire, but it's not what we want to do. Like on paper, we've got financial freedom, but in our heads, we really want to achieve a lot more. It's good in a way. It's good to be in this situation because it's work is a choice, and we work because we're passionate about what we do, and we want to build up great businesses that help people versus working because it's something that we have to do.
Successful people have a number of driving or motivating factors, and we learn about some of Morgan's.
Well, I think it's our mindset. I've always been an ambitious and entrepreneurial person. So I think it's about building a strong base for my family and my kids, whilst also teaching them the value of hard work. But also just making myself feel productive and satisfied in my life. And I think, yeah, if I retired, I would go crazy in about 2 weeks.
Sometimes you just need to trust your gut and learn from your decisions, whether they be good or bad.
I have not had any mentors or followed any one person's path, which probably, I guess, is fairly unique, and in that I've sort of formulated my own plans based on instinct and some good, some bad decision making. I found the property chat forums a few years back, and that has actually helped me quite a bit in terms of mindset, in that there's a community of like-minded people out there that are passionate about property. In my early days, I didn't have much support, and when I did my Hurstville project and it was going badly, I had very little support, very little very few people I could turn to. But having since found the property chat forums, and also now I organise the meetups in Sydney, I love, you know, the social aspect and having, even, you know, if we don't talk about property, it's still people that are very like-minded.
It is important to learn from as many people who have had a lot of experience in the field you're trying to break into.
I just found that I read a lot in the earlier days. When I was catching the train to Macquarie, all I did was read nonstop. Nothing actually jumps out at me, which is probably a good thing. I think people should try and absorb as much as they can from other people's experiences, but then try to formulate their own view that meets their own situation. And it is really about continually reading and continually sort of educating yourself you know, and listening to podcasts and hearing other people's experiences, because then they trigger sort of little things to inspire you. Well, they did for me to continue to look at my own portfolio or to go and, you know, assess what I could do with my existing properties. It was just the continual thing that helped, not any one particular book or person.
Morgan shares with us a piece of advice that has stuck with her and that she has applied to her career.
Something comes to mind, and it's actually a saying that I read somewhere, and that is that it's not what you do in a day that makes you tired. It's actually the opportunities you miss and what you don't do in a day. And that's been very much my philosophy, is that I love being productive. I love doing lots. And when I do that, I actually feel really good. But if I don't do anything, you know, then that's when I get really tired and run down.
Being able to bounce ideas off your partner that understands your business can really come in handy.
One of them is probably talking to your partner. I'm fortunate that my husband and I are very similar in our goals and our approaches. Actually, no, that's not true. We're very different in our approaches, but we're very similar in our end results. And we bounce ideas off each other constantly. And I think that's really important to do, so that you're on the same page. And when we talk to each other, we come up with new ideas and come to new conclusions, because we've sort of thought out loud what we're sort of been dealing with in our day-to-day jobs and our mindset. The thing we do is try and reward ourselves a little bit. Like, you know, we go out for a really nice dinner and we both love our food. And, you know, he's got a passion for cars, so he's bought himself a Porsche race car. You know, it's little things. Like, we go for, you know, overnight trips away. Can't take much more than overnight away, but overnight, you know, going for nice little places. It just recharges us and makes us sort of appreciate, you know, how hard we work, but we've got the rewards for it.
Throughout her years of experience, she shares what she would have liked to have done a little earlier in her career.
I probably would have started the business earlier, if anything. I would have said, hey, jump into the property management business, because there is so much you know, potential there and so much you can add, and maybe focus less on the glamour of property development. I think everyone thinks property development is, you know, hugely profitable and a very glamorous type of job, but really it's super hard work, and it's, you know, there's a lot of risk there as well.
And how does it compare to, say, property management then?
Property management is day-to-day, you know, managing risk for yourself and for other people. But as a business, there's almost no risk, because you're providing a service. And as long as you do a good job, your client base will grow. At the customer service job, at the end of the day, it's about doing the right thing by people, especially, I think, for tenants. If they're happy, then they'll stay in the property and look after the property, which at the end of the day results in a better asset for the owner.
Having achieved so much already throughout her career, there is still so much that Morgan is looking forward to in the future.
I think it's continuing to see what we've done over the last 20 years grow over the next 20 years, just to see, you know, the buy and hold properties grow. Hopefully Queensland will go up a bit more. I think everybody's waiting for Queensland to go up a bit more. you know, these businesses that we've built, seeing where they can go. I think of my business like an investment property. You know, it's got its cash flow coming in, but it's also sort of an equity base. And I'd love to see how that will go over the next 5 years. And then also trying to sort of, I guess, help our kids grow and give them, you know, a good understanding of investing and how powerful, you know, even things like compound interest can be, you know, those things that they don't really learn at school.
Everyone needs a little bit of luck along the way, but through hard work and passion is where success is achieved.
I think there's definitely a component of luck in everyone's success. And I think I've also had some fair share of some bad luck. But it comes down to a passion for what you do, I think. Because I really always wanted to be ambitious and to achieve things, I kept pushing myself. And what I do doesn't feel like work. It's more just what I do. So I think without that mindset and that drive, then it becomes harder to achieve what I have.
If you want to keep in contact with Melissa Morgan after the podcast, she provides her details on how to do so.
The website is www.progressiveproperty.com.au, And yeah, feel free to shoot me an email at melissa@progressiveproperty.com.au. And yeah, I'd love to chat to anyone that sort of, you know, needs help with property management or even sort of their portfolio. And I'm happy to even throw in, you know, the first month of property management for free just so they can try it out.
Thank you to property manager and licensee of Progressive Property, Melissa Morgan, our guest on this episode of Property Investory.
Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks, you're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit a million orders stage? Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.